So, hey guys, this is the Tech Mode Africa podcast, and this week I'm just trying to put some emotions into my face so that I can be more human, right? And I don't look like a robot talking in front of a mic, because over the weekend I saw something that scared me. I saw an AI reporter, an AI show host basically, and it looked really lifelike. It looked really realistic.
Maniya Pradhan Mantri Ji, hum aabhari hai ki aap hamare beech aaye. मेरी ऑन द जॉब लर्निंग अब शुरू हो गई है और 2024 तक मैं देश की सबसे अच्छी जर्नलिस्ट होने की कोशिश करूंगी। उम्मीद करती हूं कि तब आपसे एक एक्सक्लूसिव इंटरव्यू करने का मौका मिलेगा। बहुत बहुत धन्यवाद।
I mean, I can see comments that, oh, it's not yet human, it's robotic, but they're just a few steps away. So it's having me think, what is the future of Emmanuel Paul, co-host of the Tech Point Africa podcast? And I'm also worried about this, my guys here. Got you. This is very huge.
Why are you worried about me?
This is how you talk.
I'm not a robot.
So Flutterwave stole customers' accounts. I mean, there's no emotion. Like, Flutterwave stole customers' accounts. That's what we should be saying.
You are trying to pretend to be stoic. So
that is what you are trying to be. You are stoic.
Trying to.
Yes. Are you a Christian?
Yes, I am.
Why are you not stoic?
You're supposed to
be optimistic.
Yeah, I mean, stoics are, so funny enough, you can be Christian and stoic actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, not like the, what do you call it? So there's an aspect of it that kind of works with your.
So you're like Job. Shall we only expect good things from God? Shall we not also expect
exactly?
Evil?
I mean, that's actually the whole concept of Christianity.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
suffering
in this world, you have tribulations.
If you guys continue, so spending time to talk about stuff.
No. It's AI.
Or we'll just choose AI over you guys.
But this is what brings life to the whole conversation, right? Mm. AI is about to take our jobs. So what else are we good for? If not the philosophical reflection. So try to put some emotion in your face when you're talking.
All right. So I'm not bothered or worried. I've said it before.
You go to farms.
Exactly.
Okay. You know, there's really no internet in rural areas, but of course, the good news is South Africa is bringing free Wi-Fi to taxis. Bolu, okay, I don't think you have much issues with facial expressions and voice intonations, but yeah.
Okay.
So do your thing.
Yeah, so
we would need to take a poll of our audience. I need to know if they actually think the same about me.
Okay, sure. If you are watching this, please drop a comment. If you are listening to this, please find and tag him so that it will not look like it's somebody else are talking about. Just tag him. All right, Bolu, go on.
All right, so if you live in South Africa, there's a likely chance that the taxis you'll be in will have Wi-Fi. Mm. And you'll be able to, you know, you get with free Wi-Fi while you are commuting to wherever it is you are going. So this is the initiative of Vodacom and Nestas. If you don't know Nestas, Nestas is a vehicle tracking and telematics company, right? So what they are trying to do is get you, if you are, you know, commuting, they want you to enjoy it, you know, connect via Wi-Fi, don't use your own, you know, data to connect. And yeah, if you don't understand what telematics means, Nestas is a company that does vehicle tracking and telematics. So that just simply means it's something like IoT, right? Internet of Things, where you connect, vehicles with communication devices. So you can, you know where someone is at a particular moment, or to an extent, even do some remote controlling, you know, from wherever it is that you are. So that's what they basically do. So these things that they have in those cars already can now double as a Wi-Fi router, right? And they already have it in about over 3,000 cars already. So now that it's in those 3,000 cars, those other cars that don't have the old Wi-Fi router thing can now connect to it. Mm. So because they said about 60% of, when it comes to the transportation in South Africa, taxis, people use taxis 60% of the time. right? So there are a lot of taxes on the road. So if your own car does not have the router, unlock on the road, can have it, then you can connect. Yeah. So, but there's a player, right? They said to get access to the free Wi-Fi, you need to watch some ads in the car.
It makes sense.
You watch some ads and then you get free Wi-Fi.
Okay, it reminds me of this Nigerian startup that wants to put Wi-Fi in public bus stops, Atmosphere. So it's that same kind of principle. You're waiting. I mean, if you're in Lagos, for example, and you live in really, really busy bus stops, so you go to Allen Junction, for instance, in the evening, and while you're waiting for fights to enter bus, you start browsing the internet and but. Yeah, that's the concept of bus stop makes sense, but taxis is just you in a taxi. Does the value of one customer in a taxi? I would understand if it was a public bus, like a BRT, where many customers can be leveraging their Wi-Fi at the same time. So all of them are watching ads. But with taxis, most of the time it's one person, two persons at most, and they use the Wi-Fi, they watch the ads, but it's that enough value for them to actually install these taxis? Are they anticipating that you mentioned that taxis like their most common form of transport. So is that going to be enough to offset the amounts they will actually have to spend to install devices like this?
Okay, so I don't think they're spending a lot to install those devices. Like I said, it's a vehicle tracking and telematics company. They already have these things installed in the taxis already, so they're just making those things double as a Wi-Fi router. So I'm guessing it's not costing them as much money. So, and to the question of is just one person in taxi, I mean, there are a lot of taxis, so
multiple trips.
I mean, I even think they might be making more money from this than from the people paying for the transportation, paying for the rights, because ads is, I mean, look at Google, Facebook, ads is good money.
It's shrinking.
Yeah?
The ad revenue is shrinking
globally. But it's still big.
Well, it's still big. It's still big. Like the biggest.
Yeah. So if you get a company on board and tell them, people are taking 16,000 rides in a day in a particular location, and you know you have information on those people, right? Okay, 60% of them work at here, they are of this age. I mean,
is that not privacy concern?
I guess it is.
So, I'm wondering is to this Wi-Fi router. So, let's say you know how Lagos traffic is, and I have a car and I have a Wi-Fi router in it. Can someone who is close by access
that? It should Wi-Fi? Be passworded, right?
Yeah, like if they can maybe sign up. So just the same with public Wi-Fi, the public Wi-Fi company. So now these companies don't just serve, I mean, the Wi-Fi doesn't just serve the person in the taxi, maybe anybody within
close proximities. Yeah. Well, that makes sense. So I don't know, while we're preparing the script for this, I was playing around with something and probably Gracious would have been asking who is doing this in the article. Yes. It was me, I'm sorry. But I was trying to create a tabular format of initiatives like this in different countries. So we've seen countries like the United States. They piloted it in New York. They tried to pilot it. There was a concept, but it never really kicked off. And it also happened in the UK. I think
South Korea,
India, Mexico, and Spain. South Korea, India, Mexico, and Spain. So in India, it was Uber. And apparently, it actually enhanced the experience for most of these customers, and it made the space competitive, because after Uber did it, another ride-hailing startup called Ola or Ola kind of jumped on. I don't know. It should be Ola, right?
Yeah.
Forgive me for my Nigerianness. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting one to see how this will play out.
Yeah.
But it's happening at a time when different countries in Africa are playing in the whole transportation sector from different angles, right? So we have free Wi-Fi in South Africa, which is, I think it's private sector led. Is it government led? It's private sector led, right? They are private companies.
Yes.
Okay. So, but in Ghana, we are hearing there's a levy that has been lifted for ride-hailing companies. What's the story there?
But yeah, so the digital vehicle licensing agency of Ghana, they've been talking about imposing a levy on ride hailing companies. So that levy was supposed to go in, going to force on April 1st this year, and it appears it did, but it didn't last too long. So there was a report late last night by a Ghanaian media company, local media company, that was saying they've lifted it. So initially, when it was announced, customers were, well, I say, revolting, or they spoke up against it. And the idea was that for every trip you take, there's an extra one CD added to it. And a lot of the users' reactions were, why do I have to pay an extra? So imagine you take a boat ride or Uber ride in Nigeria, and then you're now having to pay an extra maybe 100 naira for each trip you take. So yeah, a lot of them were against it. And by yesterday night, we heard that it had been lifted. So the levy is kind of a tax. And one of the concerns people had, or let's say, is it concern now? But one of the problems people had was, okay, I work in Ghana, and my salary is taxed. Okay. And I now have to take a ride that is also taxed again. And that ride is taxed, but not just taxed. I still have to pay an extra one CD levy. So it's almost like multiple taxation from different people. So you're paying the government severally for using several services. So, maybe it wouldn't be a big deal for a lot of people, but considering the fact that Ghanaians are not exactly having the best time economically.
Okay, so a story idea just popped into my head, and you heard it here in this podcast first too. And if guys, the two of you, if any reporter beats you guys with this story, me and you guys will have big issues. But I just remember that Lagos State had a similar initiative. I reported on the story in 2020, around August, September, or thereabouts. And that time it was a lot more bigger issue than it was now. Then we're talking about you must use new cars to ride boats and all of that. Then they came outside and denied it. Mm. Thank God I had documents from, I didn't post it, but I actually showed it to my bosses, and they were like, okay. They came to ask me, Emmanuel, how far? Hope you were sure. Then they went to go and fight those guys on Twitter. But right now there's a Lagos State Road Development Fund levy, 2020 naira for every trip you take on boat. Just go on boat app and download your receipt. You will see it there. Now, you wrote an article last year about boat trips, where you were analyzing how many trips were taken, the most popular destinations. If we can find the number of trips in Lagos last year, in 2022, we can know how much they made for the Road Development Fund levy. Then we can now ask them what they are doing with it.
They are doing Lagos Ibadan.
Lagos Ibadan is a federal project.
Oh, okay.
Lagos Ibadan, they can't lay claim to that. Even the one they're even doing inside my estate, I'm pretty sure it's a federal project that they just columbid, but how much?
That's
if you can find
one.
We'll check later.
Please check it. But yeah, that's an interesting one. And the ride lane space and the transportation space in Lagos is heating up. But before we come back to Lagos, let's go to Kenya, right? Kenya has this, they had this initiative. So electric vehicles seem to be more of a thing in East Africa than Nigeria. So
Ghana too is doing
some interesting things. In Nigeria, we have Max.ng. And I'm sorry if you're working in this space and we don't know you or what you're doing, but please reach out to Ghana. Max, Siltech, Tolulokpe Williams. You can check out the video on TechPoint.
Yeah, Max is doing something
interesting. So apart from those two I just mentioned, can you think of any other person?
Electric vehicles. So I think GIGM said they were using a few electric vehicles.
GIG. So why I didn't think of GIG is because I'm thinking of them more in the more
mobility
logistics side.
They said they were going to be using
for GIGM.
Yeah, for GIGL. They're going to be using electric
vehicles for transportation.
We have a story on it. Yeah, I think
is it live?
Tested it. Yeah, it's been a while. Like around the time when they launched it, I think they checked how long on full charge you to take, I think you could go from Lagos to Ibadan. I can't remember how many hours, but there's a stereo.
Cool. So my bad then. So there's GIG, and I think Nord too has been doing some interesting things, but I don't know if it's fully operational for transportation too. That's the question. But we are hearing that Kenya has received $377 million to build electric buses. What's the plan?
Okay. I mean, so like you said, a lot of the development in the electric vehicle space has been, at least in Africa, most of it has been in East Africa. For some reason, I'm not yet sure, maybe it's government regulations that is encouraging it, because Bolt has piloted electric vehicles in Kenya. I think they wanted to do something in Nigeria, I can't remember, but a lot of it has been in Kenya. So I guess government regulations are making it very easy. And then the idea is that they could build a bus route, and it's like strictly electric buses. So 377 million, that's a huge amount of money, and it's going to be interesting to see how far it can go in bringing electric vehicles mainstream. I mean, it's not yet mainstream in any part of the world, but I think Kenya seems to be taking a lead on that, and it will be interesting to just see how that goes.
So the question I'm asking now is, a lot of things are coming to my mind, right? You say you want to do something like this. It's a really awesome project, really ambitious project. But where are they going to get these buses from? There are manufacturers in Kenya that could actually put their weight and do this. But for this amount, how are they going to get the buses? Are they going to behave like a government I know that will contract a foreigner
to do it?
A country I know, or are they going to leverage these local players? Are they going to benefit from it? So the question in my head is, where are they going to get these buses from? Then number two, how long is it going to take
to have this
rolling? And I hope this is not going to be a white elephant project where you build it and no one can afford to use it.
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. I'm leaning towards the fact that they will use local players to do it. We had
this. Bolu, you sound like a robot now. Please, life.
Okay.
The AI is coming. Okay.
I'm leaning towards Kenya using local players to do this, because they actually have a company that specifically builds electric buses, right? I'm trying to look for the name of that company, but what it does is they build buses, like mainly buses, nothing else, right? So they raised 70 million dollars.
Basigo?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. They raised some amount of money, and I think that just automatically places them like they're the perfect person to do that, right?
Okay, so they're just drawing my attention to the fact that are they actually building buses, or are they just building bus lanes?
No, they are not. So what's going on is they're actually building bus lanes.
Okay.
Right? But then bus lanes means you need electric buses on those lanes.
Okay.
So those lanes are basically serving us. I don't know if you know the way electric trains work, right? Electric trains work in such a way that the rail line, there's an electrical source for the train on that rail line, right? So it's not as if it's using a battery or anything. It's like you are constantly connected to a grid on that lane. So it's not as if you need to go for a charge or something like that. So what they want to do is build those lanes where those buses will work. But then you still need buses that will work on those lanes, even though you have connection, NEPA connection in your house, but you don't have anything that uses electricity, right? So it's still a valid conversation
to be had. So I'm guessing it's like you mentioned or you hinted, I think it's more of a policy drive that they've reduced import duty, on electric vehicles that come to Kenya, and they've kind of tried to foster an enabling environment for electric vehicles. I hope some countries are listening to this. But yeah, that's quite an interesting one. So what are you betting will happen with this? Are we going to see Kenya transition from the matatus to electric buses, electric BRT systems?
Yeah, I'd like to root for them that this would happen within a reasonable time.
Three to four years.
Okay, so maybe not like complete acceptance, but at least, Kenya is not such a large country compared to Nigeria. So can we have it transporting 10% of Kenyans in the next 4 years? And
that would be a win.
Yeah, that would be a win, I think. And over the next, say, 20 years, it could become, it could get to, let's say, 30%. So I'm not holding out hope that it would even get to half, but can you have a plan where over the next 20 years, you have between 20 to 25%?
I actually think something like this could happen in Lagos soon. Well, because the new...
With the road development fund fee.
Well, if you think about the new rail lines that were just commissioned, the blue rail line, that is the kind of technology it uses. The trains are electric. So
this is the same train that was being pushed.
I think that's a conversation. I actually spoke to some people about...
They pushed the train. Bolu, you did not mention this.
I spoke to some people about that. And
that was a video.
I saw the video. Train. Yes. Train.
Yes.
Train.
Yes.
Yeah.
So when I asked about that, they said the Lagos State Government said that they were not actually pushing the train. And that was when imported those trains, brought them in.
Okay.
And the contractors' men were basically why you call your eyes? That the contractors men were basically goofing around the train because that they were not pushing it. And they also made an argument that those trains are pretty large, too large to be pushed.
I mean,
I did some research and I found out that it's actually possible to push a train for like five people to push a train. That's happened before in India, right?
So what was the fiscal, like?
So I'm not very good with physics, but
not like the physics. So I'm going to assume if you're going to push a bus, there's some. I can't tell you to go and push one bus on your own, but maybe if the three of us came together, we could push a bus. So, like, if five people were pushing a train, I don't know.
if that's possible.
Like, can five people even push a truck?
A truck.
A corn oil truck.
Exactly the same argument, you know, the person, yeah.
Okay. No, it sounded ridiculous that...
I mean, when I saw it, I looked at it and I was like, pushing train.
Oh, that
like,
was what they sent to the group. Oh.
Yeah. So what I was wondering is, okay, at what time? So we don't have full context, of course. Like, was this when they were taking a ride that maybe it broke down and they had to push it?
It's not when they were taking a ride.
Which is highly unlikely.
I've taken a ride on the train and it was pretty solid.
No, I think the legal... While I was covering my eyes, I was thinking you were about to, because the excuses the government gives sometimes are really cringe. Mm. So, but I think the explanation makes sense. I mean, I find it hard to believe that
five Lagosians. It's not like Lagosians are buff like that.
Yeah.
If I throw a stone in the market, most people are going to be lean like me. So the chances are five of me is pushing a train. Yeah. Yeah, not something light.
Okay, yeah. So a very, very, very huge crypto-focused company. It looked like they wanted to push a train on their own. And they got the result of what they were looking for. They went to push a train.
Yeah.
They tried to push the blockchain train.
Blockchain train.
Like this my guy, yeah. And he's slim.
That was it.
So Paxful shut down.
Yes.
What happened?
All right. So Paxful, as the CEO of Paxful, Ray Youssef, announced that the company would be shutting down and advised, not even told customers that had funds left in the company to withdraw their funds because they can't go on. The reasons why the company is shutting down is because regulatory issues have been crazy lately. There's also the crypto winter that has refused to go. Well, we've seen some developments, but the crypto winter is still there. And then there's also the issue, some legal battles between the company and one of its co-founders, right? So the regulatory issues first, right? If you look at that, yes, he said, yeah, regulators are understanding the whole crypto space, everything, but there's still a lot that they don't know. So they've been clamping down. There's, since the whole FTX stuff, there's been a lot of clampdown on crypto companies recently. Even Binance is going through it right now. Binance is going through a legal battle with the CFTC in the US. And yeah, I mean, basically, crypto companies are not having a good time right now. And crypto winter, well, still as a result of a lot of crypto bad happenings from last year, you've seen crypto prices fall very bad. So that's also another issue. And then the third issue, which I feel is the main reason why the company is shutting down, is because of the legal battle between the company and one of its co-founders. So he said the legal battle has caused a lot of people to leave the company. So they don't have engineers again. Compliance specialists are no longer there. The security guys are no longer there. So the legal battle has caused, because he said, from what he said, they just can't deal with that guy anymore. I guess he's causing a lot of problems. So people are like, I'm leaving this place. So yes. Those are the reasons why the company is going down.
Which of the reasons are you leaning towards? The last
the
one?
Third, the last. Last
one. So here's why I don't think that's the case.
Mm.
A company that is very, very sound is not going to shut down because of legal battle.
Not necessarily. So a very huge percentage of startups that fail don't fail because they don't have money. They actually fail because of co-founder dispute.
Co-founder dispute.
Yeah, I think I hinted at it at a few articles. So investors are always very careful if you are going to... That's why you would see that there's a very good number of... like, there's a solid relationship usually between co-founders who get funded because investors are looking at that. Some people are skeptical about investing in husband and wife teams. Mm. What happens if you get divorced? So that's why they would likely invest in two brothers or two siblings than a husband and wife. So they would usually ask you, how well do you know your co-founder before you go ahead? So it's very possible because now that co-founder, we don't know how much of a stake he has in the company. And if it's huge, he could be stalling management decisions. He could actually be the reason why you don't pay staff, which is why staff could leave. So if they have, we've had several issues in Nigeria here where founders, they had, this one was even a co-founder, they had issues with investors. The founder was like, oh, I can't take this anymore, take the company. And they walked out because... I mean, those disputes, it could be a legitimate reason why they are shutting down. So
why do you think it can be?
Okay, so I should have asked if the co-founder was still with the company.
He was kicked out a year ago.
So if he is not affecting decisions internally and it's just the legal battle.
But he's still on the board.
He's still on the board. So that's not kicked out now. If someone is on the board, how is that kicked out?
I mean, you could be kicked out of leadership, but they can't. Especially if, I don't know how they are. I've not looked at their numbers.
Like,
how
do they fund it? Completely out of the company.
Depending on who that person is. If I'm a majority stakeholder, it's difficult.
He was not the majority stakeholder, was he?
He's not the CEO.
He's not a CEO. So if he's a co-founder, then I assume he was on the early founding team. He wasn't brought in. So that means he has significant stakes. You also don't know whether he has some of the investors backing him. If you have some of those investors backing him,
it could make life miserable for the company. Okay, that's a fair point.
And depending on the role he was handling, I don't know, it could be messy actually.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a messy one.
It's pretty abrupt. Because company has been around for a while. They started in 2015.
Yeah. They were even giving us data on crypto
Nigeria
usage.
Was one of their biggest markets. Yes, markets. 1.5 million users. In 2021, Nigerians alone did 1.5 billion
wow.
in crypto Bitcoin transactions. So
$1 billion, yeah.
Billion
dollars.
I'm telling you.
I pity everybody. I pity all of you.
Now, why do you know they believe so and not get money?
Yeah. So I think, yeah. Let's move from the bad news and talk very, very, very briefly about Shotlass.
Reality sometimes.
Shotlass. So Shotlass just raised $3 million, right?
Four million dollars.
Oh, sorry. They raised $4 million and they want to expand their operations in Nigeria. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So what are the talking points you spotted?
Okay, a few. The ride hailing space it hasn't always been very favorable for Nigerian startups. And then last time the race was 2021, and they said they wanted to do a Pan-African expansion. But now they are leaning towards a Nigerian expansion, which is a bit curious to me because the CEO says they have the infrastructure that they can easily plug in to expand across Africa. So why are you not doing all of that? Between 2021 and this time, a lot has changed in the macroeconomic environment. So I'm making a guess that it's not as easy as they expected or as they thought to expand across Africa. And between that period, we've also seen some funny developments. Swivel went public through a SPAC, made a few acquisitions, even tried to walk back on one of the acquisitions. I think that was Volt that they made. So we've also seen Plenty Waka trying to expand to Canada.
Trips, please.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, Trips now. Yeah, Trips trying to expand to Canada and now Tripping.
Mm.
Don't leave me. But yeah,
it's just you also.
But yeah, they tried to expand to Canada. They made some acquisitions, I think, in Uganda, two countries in Africa. I think, yeah, Uganda and Ghana, Starbucks and one other. But we can't really say that these guys are killing it so far. So I'm a bit
skeptical, and rightly so.
Skeptical about it, but I kind of have some trust in Shotlass. So Shotlass is one of those companies that had to bootstrap for a very long time before raising funds. And they were, when you bootstrap and stay alive for that long, it kind of helps you to think clearly. You just use what you have to get what you need. So I'm holding out hope that, okay, yes, you survived without funding. Yeah. And you can do a lot more now you have funding. But the reality on ground, let's talk reality things, is that it is hard for you to build a ride-hailing startup. I was curious this morning, I asked Willie, how many local ride-hailing successes do we have? Right? So what does this say about the ride-hailing space? And even not just in Nigeria, but globally, we've seen Uber burn through a lot of money and they're only trying to now get to profitability. You've seen Lyft. I think Lyft is now valued at less than the amount they have raised. So this shows you that it's not a very easy place to play in. We can't say for now, I don't have a crystal ball to say that you guys are going to succeed or not, but I'm holding out hope that they are able to succeed and hopefully prove that the Nigerian ride hailing space is like worth investing in. So yeah. Shout out to Trips. Sorry, Shotlass for new investments, but it's not
a straightforward road ahead.
Yes. I mean, okay. I believe they know that already.
I wish them all the best. I believe they will do well.
Yeah, so to help startups like Shotlass do well, to prevent more companies shutting down. Last year, the Nigerian Startup Act came into existence. And yeah, I think we should sign off with mentioning this. They've elected members of the council, the National Council for Digital Innovation and Entrepreneurship. And of course, they now have a representative forum, people that were representing the council. And we have names like Davison Oturu, managing partner at Nubia Capital, Muhammad Ibrahim Jega, he's the co-founder of Dominion Blockchain Solutions. We have Eloho Omame, the co-founder and general partner at First Check Africa, a notable person in the tech space. Founder and CEO of Outsource Global, Amal Hassan. And Yeah, those are like the four representatives of the consultative program. Why am I mentioning their names? Because this, it's not enough to have just have that law over there. It's not enough to say that the president has signed it. Yeah, we've celebrated it. We've said all the good things he can do, but that's where the work starts. Engaging these guys. And these guys are the private sector stakeholders that you can actually engage with. So I'm not saying you should bludgeon them to death with questions and reaching out to them unsolicitedly, but give them a little bit of close marking. And these are the kind of people that can help you engage with the government whenever there's any issue, whenever you need something, you have questions asked. But it's not just them, the entire Nigerian Startup Act team. So I think it's an important initiative. But unlike government initiative where you expect them to drop it on your lap, I don't think it's going to happen that way. You probably have to be the one to fight for it. So yeah, you can check out the video we did with the special assistant to the Nigerian president on innovation, Osare Tinguobadia, and you will hear him clearly asking you, what can you do about it? So Bolu Chingwezen, what can you do about Startup Act? And what are you doing about it?
I don't get startup now.
You don't get startup. You are working in a startup, so what can you do about it?
You may see me or the
We'll see, don't worry.
We will see. Don't worry. If you don't do anything about it, you know, you will get a book from the author called Yugosi Shege. So don't worry. All right, guys. So yeah, I'm going to leave you now. The Pitch Friday is coming. Next week, right?
Yeah,
so
next week Friday.
We have an important update, so watch out on the website for that important update. So don't just come to Pitch Friday like that. We'll look out for that update too. Mm-hmm. Don't say I didn't tell you. Then we have the Lagos Startup Expo coming. Remember what I said last week. If you really, really care about your customers and you really, really care about making an impact in solving people's problems, the Lagos Startup Expo is a place where you get to engage with customers in a way you don't get to on a normal day. Mm. And you get to network with other industry professionals, and you get to network with investors and the media and every other person. So yeah, don't miss out. Head out to lagosstartupexpo.com, exhibit, sponsor, and attend the event. Then, what is Amami saying? Amami saying anything else? Yeah, subscribe.
Yeah, I promised that there'll be an article on open banking. So yes, I did not fail you.
The article is live.
Yes. It went live the day I said it would go live. So
cool.
Congratulations. Read it and drop your comments or questions and yeah.
Yeah, you're free to drag him if you didn't do it well. Yeah, so
yes, you are.
You are free. Then don't forget to subscribe to his newsletter, FinTech Today, so he explores some of these topics in the fintech space. And it's going to be getting a little bit of a facelift, but the idea is to provide you with as much value as possible in the shortest time possible. Then also the workaholic, all the trends in the workspace, in the gig economy, the future of work, remote work, health insurance for employees, co-founder, employee stock options. Just come and have those conversations. And we're exploring it, not just what's happening in Africa, we're looking at what is happening globally. I mean, we just saw something about layoffs being very, very difficult in Europe. Big tech have it very, very, very hard to lay off people in Europe. Yeah, watch out for Nifemi's article on that. Yes, I've already wrote that in. Yeah, so yeah, if you're listening to us on any of our audio channels, of course, those of us on YouTube, you know what to do now. Yeah, so audio channels.
Yeah, you can find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and anywhere else you get your podcast.
All right, people, see you in the next one. Bye-bye.
All right.